Hey, Chicago, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Stick around to the very end of the episode to get a rundown of the latest news. But first, becoming a parent is usually a moment of joy, but for many Black expectant moms in Illinois, it can come with serious health risks. Black women are still 3 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related complications than white women. And in Chicago, that gap is even wider. And there's been a push to change that, from growing access to doulas to new efforts inside hospitals and across Cook County. So what is actually making a difference? And where are the gaps? For Black Maternal Health Week, we're digging into what birth outcomes in the Chicago area look like today and where we can do better. In a few minutes, I'll sit down with a pair of doulas and a doctor. But first, I turn to Michelle Adeni, Director of Maternal and Child Health for March of Dimes. That's an organization focused on the urgent maternal and infant health crisis in the U.S. I started out by having her dig into some of the systemic issues that contribute to the higher rate of death for Black mothers. Here's Michelle.
People feeling unsupported, people not having their voices heard or believed when they express discomfort, pain, or otherwise, and also lack of access to quality health care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from what I have seen and personally experienced too, and I'm thinking of my own 2 pregnancies, It feels to me like more people are depending on doulas or on midwives these days. Is that true? Have we seen a growing trend?
Absolutely. Doula support definitely is associated with improved birth outcomes. It also helps encourage lower rates of cesarean delivery. People have more positive birth experiences because they feel supported and heard. And I can express and explain more about what a doula is. They are a support professional that provides physical, emotional, and informational support to pregnant people and their partners before, during, and after childbirth. So, for example, some of the things a doula might do is they will provide information about the procedures that will be performed or the actions that will be taken during and after labor. They help explain your birth plan, and they help you advocate for your emotional and physical needs. Mm-hmm. To hospital staff. So they don't speak for you, but they help give you the information so that you can feel confident to speak for yourself. They also offer physical comfort by providing massage or focused breathing or stretching. And they also will help you with breastfeeding after you've given birth or just educating you on your options of right. How to feed your child.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about doulas that is different from a midwife is they cannot provide medical advice. They cannot change clinical recommendations of a midwife or a doctor,
mm-hmm.
but their role is very vital and important. They provide the continuous support and encouragement during labor and delivery that helps people have just a better birthing experience
right.
and less traumatic one as well.
And all those things that you just described, right? The emotional support, just the breastfeeding help, all of that. What do you think caused the shift? Why were more mothers seeming to need that, to want that?
Because they felt unsupported when they were going to give birth. They felt that they were just a number and they were just following what people were telling them to do. They didn't feel like they had agency over their bodies. And so by letting them know that, you can actually benefit from having a support professional that is well-versed in this experience, that can support you and help you better, make decisions and also provide you with less anxiety,
mm-hmm.
Through the process. I think people were really interested in that. And another reason why a lot of people are now looking into it is because we've had some amazing state legislation here in Illinois that supports doulas receiving reimbursement from Medicaid
mm-hmm.
agencies, and eventually they'll be receiving reimbursement from, insurance companies in general.
And this push is coming from the top, right? Governor Pritzker is behind this increased doula support.
Yes, he is. And he realizes that the way that the healthcare system is set up, there's only so much that a provider can do in the, you know, time that they have with their patient. So the fact that a doula can spend even more time outside of that to provide them with more comfort and information, I think that's a great benefit.
While I have you, tell us about March of Dimes Doula Hospital Integration Project. How does that work, and what's the gap that it's trying to fill?
Sure. So our Doula Hospital Integration Project is a collaborative effort through our partners at the Chicago Birthworks Collective, which is a maternal wellness agency and doula agency. It's also a partnership with Advocate Trinity Hospital. It's, you know, a model that we created that helps integrate trained doulas. So these doulas are already trained and they're receiving supplemental advanced training. So what it does is bridges that clinical care gap, and it provides the birthing person with continuous culturally competent support, you know, during their pregnancy, labor, and postpartum.
And tell us what else March of Dimes has planned for Black Maternal Health Week. I hear there's a march coming up.
On Wednesday, April 15th, from 6 to 7 p.m., we have an event that is virtual that is coming up, and it is the Pregnancy Playbook for Young Moms. And that will be a panel discussion with an OB, a medical doctor, and a young mom. And then in addition to that, on April 26th, we have the March for Babies walk that is taking place in Chicago. And that walk is our annual walk where we raise awareness and we raise funds to fight more for moms and babies everywhere. And that'll be taking place at Montrose Harbor in Chicagoland.
Michelle Adeniyi is Director of Maternal and Child Health for March of Dimes. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, for more insight, let's hear from our panel. At the table, Nikina Hanna, who's a doula with March of Dimes, and Rayshonda Payne, who is a doula with Cook County Health. We've also got Dr. Carmen Adams, an obstetrician gynecologist with Cook County Health. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Hi.
So, Nikina, you heard Michelle sort of break down for us, you know, what a doula does, how it differs from a midwife. Mm-hmm. Expand on that for us just a little bit. Does a pregnant mother need both? Should you maybe receive care from one before the other? How do the options work together in practice?
Both, definitely, because doulas are not medical, like Michelle said. You know, we are trained professionals, but we are non-medical. However, because of our training, we are just able to, you know, explain things that the mom may not necessarily know. You would get into, you know, like the hospitals or your doctor at your doctor's appointment, mm-hmm. and words are being thrown around that you may not understand. So the patient can come back to us and say, hey, you know, they said this, that, and the other, and we are able to just break it down for them in more simpler terms so that they're able to understand it. And we're just able to make sure that they are following up with their doctors when they're supposed to, just making sure that the whole labor and delivery process, the pregnancy process altogether, just goes as smoothly as possible, mm-hmm. as closely as you planned it, because, you know, things do happen, but that's the reason for the doulas, you know, being there. So we want to make sure that everything goes smoothly and we don't have, like, you know,
any scary moments.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
Which we know can happen, as mm-hmm. you sort of alluded to. Mm-hmm. And Rayshonda, you know, what Michelle described and what Nikina described there, that extra emotional support, that education. I remember feeling like that was lacking during my first pregnancy. I was under the care of an OBGYN, and I ended up switching to a midwife at month five because I was, you know, I was one too many doctor's appointments where my questions just went unanswered, where I was rushed, literally rushed out. Like, okay, you're fine. Baby's fine. Go ahead. You know, all is good. And first time mom, I'm thinking, but I have my post-it note with all of these questions. But it's not just me, it sounds like, right? I mean, is the average pregnant woman receiving that level of care that you all are providing?
Unfortunately,
They are not, which is why we're there to bridge the gap.
And why is that the case?
I don't know.
Is that not like the baseline?
It should be. And I think that's where we come in. Mm-hmm. We're able to provide that group education, parenting classes. So mm-hmm. before they get to labor and delivery, we've covered all of the bases from your medical interventions, different medical terminology. What are their options? What are their non-medical pain management options? Their medical pain management options. And even going into newborn care, I think that's the biggest things moms don't feel educated and supported. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do once I leave this hospital with this baby. Mm-hmm. So we're going over breastfeeding education, how to properly take care of baby. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are lactation counselors. We have certification in lactation. And then not letting them drop off after birth.
Yes.
That's so critical.
That is the
postpartum
key.
Period, having a doula is tremendous in that part. Like, we have to make sure that mom is still taking care of mom.
Yeah. That was the big selling piece for me, you know, with my midwife, which is the 6 weeks of aftercare. Mm-hmm. I had my second child just had issues with latching. And so just having a person be able to come to my home and just help me mm-hmm. with breastfeeding was priceless yeah. at the time. I couldn't put it into words yeah. back then. Dr. Adams, I want to bring you in here because, I mean, we're ultimately talking here about maternal mortality, right? And it's a severe public health crisis. Illinois is not exempt. And we're talking particularly about Black women who are, as I mentioned, 3 to 4 times more likely to die from complications during labor and pregnancy. How did we get here, in your view, doctor?
Yeah, I think there's several reasons. I think that access to care is a huge factor. We're fortunate as a safety net provider at Cook County Health that regardless of ability to pay or insurance, that Black women do have access to high quality healthcare services. But for many across the country, that's not the case. And it's not just care during the pregnancy. We know that many women have problems and medical issues prior to pregnancy, things like high blood pressure or diabetes. And if those medical issues are not properly controlled prior to pregnancy, they can be magnified throughout the pregnancy and worsen.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the medical biases that women, especially Black women, are facing as well.
Yes. Yeah, so certainly, you know, there's medical biases, historically, racism and biases that have been present in the healthcare system. And so, you know, I'm glad that physicians and healthcare systems are talking more about this because it can make Black women less likely to seek out the care that they need just because of distrust that's happened in the past and kind of fear of the medical system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nikina, I want you to sort of touch on that, the biases, and how a presence of a doula can help counter those biases, right? As Black women.
Yeah. You know, representation really matters. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we already have an issue with the medical system already. So it make it easier if you see that your doula is the same, you know, race as you. So that's where the trust comes in. You know, I've had clients say that, you know, my whole care team is white. I want someone in the room that looks just like me. So if I'm there, I'm able to give that person the trust that they need so they can believe the information that is being told to them. Because at the end of the day, I don't work for the doctor. I work for the client. I work for the mom.
Yeah.
And so I have no reason to lie to you. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, you have the best outcome as possible. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And when you talk about, you know, we know that there are issues or Black women have issues already when it comes to the doctor. You're talking about just that history of not being believed in some cases, right?
I still see that to this day, unfortunately.
Really?
But that's one good thing I will say about the DHIP program. You know, we team with the doctor.
You're talking about the doula integrated program that I talked about with Michelle.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we meet with the doctor. Not all of them, but we do meet with the head doctor. So she knows all the client. We get to talk to her, let her know what's going on with our caseload. So it makes it easy for
everyone to be in the loop, mm-hmm. to know what's going on with the clients. No one is just a number. You know, everybody is getting personalized care.
Yeah. Doctor, mm-hmm. talk about how, on your end, how the doctors and doulas work in tandem to improve these birth outcomes. What does it look like for you?
Yes. So, you know, in practice, the doulas are with the patient at the bedside, and we will, you know, explain kind of the labor process. We may explain an exam, how we feel the labor is progressing. And the doulas are there to help kind of bridge the gap in terms of making sure that the patient fully understands what we're saying and what, you know, and also as well as the partner.
Yeah. And does that look the same for you, Rayshonda? I know you're also with Cook County Health.
Yes.
What's the experience like coordinating on the doula end with the medical staff?
Yeah. So like she said, we're bridging the gap. We're providing that education before they get to labor and delivery. We're their bedside. We're supporting mom throughout labor and delivery, coaching mom, and just being that continuous support person throughout their experience.
Yeah. Dr. Adams also mentioned earlier just, you know, the medical issues that women come with prior to pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And then I start to think about just Black women in particular. I hear so much about preeclampsia. That was not my experience, but you hear a lot of women have you know, celebrity women, Black women have famously mm-hmm. talked about mm-hmm. having to deal with that. And we are, as Black women, 60% or so more likely to develop that than white women. So how do you all navigate even that education piece on things that we know are very particular to Black women?
Yeah. So educating, explaining to mom the risk factors, ensuring moms are attending those prenatal visits and getting those blood pressure checks. Because a lot of times, especially when moms have had 2, 3, 4 babies, they feel like, I got this. I know what I've been, you know, I've been through.
Even though every pregnancy is
different. Yeah. Exactly. So just really motivating mom to make sure she's keeping up with her prenatal care and afterbirth. Making sure she's still checking her blood pressure, still going to her postpartum visits, because we know that the maternal rate does not end at birth. It can happen after.
Postpartum preeclampsia is a thing.
Postpartum preeclampsia.
Yes. It's a real thing.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Blood pressure, same symptoms, but it can be an onset after you have the baby. Mm-hmm. You know, we have been taught
so you can go through the whole thing without preeclampsia and then develop it after?
Yes, you can. We have been told that how you get rid of preeclampsia is having a baby, but we are seeing that is not true. That is not true. So your blood pressure checks still need to go on even after delivery. You know, and it's just so much with that. Preeclampsia, we know that it's essentially a blood pressure thing, but it's also a multi-organ thing.
Yes.
So it can affect so many different organs in your body, your heart, your kidney. So it's very important to, you know, follow up care.
I mean, it's severe. It could be fatal.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Doctor, and I want to hear from all of you on this. Talk about the strides that have been made to improve Black maternal health outcomes. What does that look like in your day-to-day? Where can you see improvements?
So at Cook County Health, we've been implementing a cocoon model for our patients. And so that's essentially where the mother's at the center of what we do. And we try to surround them with the support that they need. And so we include social workers, pharmacists, and other specialty care services, just to make sure that everyone is working together to support the various aspects of pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Also, just kind of addressing the socioeconomic factors that impact maternal outcomes. So access to healthy food, transportation to appointments, childcare, housing, we help to support those things as well.
Mm-hmm. What strides have you seen, Rayshonda?
Yes. So as a doula, we're piggybacking off of that cocoon model. We are the contact. We want to put moms in contact with different resources. And our Healthy Start program is an amazing piece of that. They follow moms up to a year after baby is born to make sure she has all of the adequate resources and connections that she needs.
Mm-hmm. Same here. You know, we meet monthly with the DHIP program. We meet monthly. So if there's a pressing issue that the mom may need outside of her pregnancy, whether it's diapers or some type of, you know, social work aspect, we can get that help for them.
Mm-hmm. The reality is far too many new moms are dying from childbirth, right? As I said earlier, this is supposed to be a moment of joy. And we're seeing this happen far too many Black women. Yes. What do we still need to do? What do you want to see happen?
Every woman have a doula. Yeah. That's my perspective.
Yeah. Doulas for all.
Doulas for all. Mm-hmm. It's such a critical role that I don't think people really understand the impact. Mm-hmm. We're talking about lower preterm births. The risk of cesarean, the rate of cesarean drops drastically. And just the overall better experience for a mom, having someone that they feel like is there to support them continuously throughout. So for me, it's everybody has a doula.
Everybody has a doula, especially Black women. But to understand that it's not just a trendy thing. You know, we're not here just for the vibes. And I'm the one to do it. Like, you in a room with me, you know, I'm going to have lights going, you know.
You're like, though I will create a vibe.
I'm not only here for the vibe. Like, you know, please utilize your doula, especially if you're fortunate enough to get in one of these programs where you don't have to pay out of pocket. Utilize her. Ask her questions.
That's right, because no cost, right? This is covered by Medicaid.
Yes. So, like, ask her questions. Pick her brain. She knows things. She is there for you. Utilize your doula. I can't say that enough.
Doctor, what still needs to happen?
I think that everyone having access to high quality care, not having to worry about certain burdens and barriers to care. And then certainly, yes, I want everyone to have access to doulas because they've been such an important role in our healthcare system and playing a vital role with our patients.
Yeah. Now, I want to put this to you all. In Springfield, lawmakers have actually introduced the NEST bill. I don't know if you're familiar. It proposes the Newborn Equity Support Transfer Program. That's the NEST part. And there's an upcoming hearing about this. So the program is actually responding to the Black maternal health crisis by offering eligible moms $1,500 during the third trimester of pregnancy, followed by $500 a month for the first 6 months of the baby's life. Nearly 40% of all new mothers in Illinois would actually be eligible. What do you think? I mean, your eyebrows are raising.
I know, that is awesome. I didn't know about that. That is awesome. Every incentive, you know, counts.
Yeah. For additional context, it was introduced by the Economic Security Illinois Action, Senator Graciela Guzman, Representative Kelly Cassidy, and representatives of the Illinois Cost of Living Refund Coalition. So it's a whole group here, obviously thinking deeply about this issue and thinking about the cost, you know, beyond just labor and delivery. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts, Rashonda? Giving moms $500 a month?
Yes, could tremendously benefit from that and take some of the burden off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dr. Adams?
Yes, certainly. I think it sounds like a great idea. I think that there's so much that happens after birth, whether it's, you know, wanting to get additional support for lactation and breastfeeding and then going to mental health providers. There's so many... you know, kids are expensive, so there's a lot that, you know, that can go a long way.
Mm-hmm. What about, Dr. Adams, that the structural racism and bias piece that we talked about earlier that, of course, continues to affect Black mothers? How can we counter that? Is it training? More training?
I think certainly training, the more we talk about it, especially the unconscious bias piece, the more we talk about it, the more... you know, people can change behavior. I think our country just has to continue to talk more about the injustices of Black maternal health, certainly.
We've been talking to Nakina Hanna, who's a doula with March of Dimes, Rashonda Payne, a doula with Cook County Health, and Dr. Carmen Adams, an OBGYN with Cook County Health. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
To the top news stories of the day with WBEZ Morning Edition anchor Claire Lane, arts and culture reporter Courtney Kippers, and Elvia Melagon, a health reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. There was no deal to end the war on Iran over the weekend, despite high-level talks. Now the Trump administration says it plans to blockade the Strait of Hormuz. Meanwhile, Pope Leo XIV, Chicago's own, well, he continues to speak out. So here's Claire with more on that back and forth between the Pope and the president.
Yes, he has had quite an active weekend. Pope Leo XIV has denounced what he is calling the delusion of omnipotence that is fueling the ongoing U.S.-Israel war in Iran. And he continues to just call on political leaders to stop the war and to negotiate peace.
Well, here's a little bit of what President Trump has had to say in response to the papal criticism.
He's a man that doesn't think that we should be toying with a country that wants a nuclear weapon so they can blow up the world. I'm not a fan of Pope Leo.
He's not a fan of Pope Leo. Is it strange, Claire, to have this rift between Washington and the Vatican?
A little bit. I think Trump's rhetoric is what's strange here. I mean, he's continuing to criticize Leo as a person. This is on social media and to reporters, which is what you just heard. He's accusing him of being too liberal. And in a social media post, Trump accused Leo of being weak on crime as well as weak on foreign policy. But there has been a response. There's been another clapback from Pope Leo XIV responding to this criticism in that soundbite that you just heard, saying that the Vatican's peace appeals are rooted in the gospel. Always coming back to the book, so to speak, and speaking this morning, Leo just emphasized again that his message is not a direct attack on Trump, but on just a call for peace to end the war.
Wow. Elvia, in other news, we got changes to SNAP benefits that went into effect at the start of this month. Tell us the details.
Yeah, so starting April 1st in Illinois, certain non-citizens are excluded from the SNAP food assistance program. This is typically called food stamps, sometimes a link card. And the non-citizens that we're talking about refugees, asylees, survivors of human trafficking. Mm. And
so what we feared has come true. They're excluded now.
Yes. Yeah. And this is all part of the big tax bill that passed last summer. So this is really like the ripple effects of it actually being implemented.
And how many people are we talking about here, Elvia, that are impacted by this?
The state estimates that it's about 16,000 people that are going to be impacted and will lose their SNAP benefits maybe as soon as this month or whenever they have to do their redetermination for the program.
And this is sort of one thing in a series, sort of a domino effect of issues. Remind folks what else refugees are facing right now.
So resettlement agencies said that they're really in a catch-22 because refugees, they do have a legal pathway to citizenship. And if legal permanent residents can still get SNAP food assistance. However, the administration has stopped processing green cards for refugees. So they're really in a tight spot where they're unsure what's going to happen to their legal status, but also they're unsure when they'll be able to access food assistance again.
And we get this question all the time, Elvia, when we talk about these issues. People write in, they call us, they ask, how can we help? Are there any resources that you can share right now?
Yeah, resettlement agencies like Refugee One here in Chicago, World Relief Chicagoland, they're accepting grocery gift card donations because that's what they're going to give families who are in, you know, immediate need something to get by like this week immediately. But they also said people should support local food pantries. They're expecting refugees are going to turn to those a lot. Mm-hmm. And Refugee One has an Amazon wish list on their website because they're really trying to collect as many household items to reduce the expenses overall for refugee families.
Thanks for sharing that. Courtney, in other news, Chicago's D-Case commissioner is in the hot seat, so to speak. So tell us what's happening with Kenya Merritt.
Yeah, sure. Last week, Merritt appeared before the City Council's Cultural Committee. Her nomination to be D-Case's full-time commissioner had to pass through that committee. And that very long meeting started with a long list of arts leaders really praising Merritt and her leadership. But then a lot of the questions from the aldermen centered around this pending lawsuit in which Merritt is named. And just to remind folks, that was a lawsuit filed by Kim Grigsby, D-Case's former first deputy. In it, she alleges that she was fired in retaliation for filing a whistleblower complaint about alleged wrongdoing at D-Case with the city's inspector general and HR department.
So what is next for Chicago's cultural affairs department?
Yeah, Merritt's nomination passed out of the cultural committee and now goes to the full council for a vote. The council's next meeting is Wednesday, and they're expected to take it up then.
Claire, more Chicago public school students are earning these so-called biliteracy seals.
Yes.
What is that?
The seal is awarded. This is to high school seniors who demonstrate a high level of proficiency in English, and it could be one or it could be several more other languages.
Okay.
So in 2025, CPS and Illinois schools saw a record number of students earning this seal, with more than 3,500 CPS students honored. So the numbers are showing that people are speaking a lot of different languages.
Elvia, Rush Hospital nurses, they're moving to unionize. What's going on?
Yeah, they had a rally at the end of last week. They were very excited to file this petition, kind of the first step in forming a union. And they say that they really want to be involved in conversations around staffing ratios, retention for nurses. And they say this is all really tied to patient safety.
Mm, yeah. So what are the conditions that they want to see improved? I mean, patient safety, what do they mean exactly?
I think the ratio of how many nurses are staffed for a particular shift or department.
Not enough.
Yes.
Not enough
but they
staff.
Also are concerned about burnout. They said ever since COVID-19, that has been a huge problem for this particular sector. And they really want to just have a seat at the table, they mentioned, to really have these conversations and to really ensure that nurses are staying on the job. A lot of them said they really like working at Rush, but they're concerned about nurses burning out and leaving the field.
Yeah, and it's a theme we hear a lot, especially when you talk about these union stories. Like, you know, put us at the table, hear from the people doing the work before you make certain decisions, right?
Well, and healthcare too it requires such compassion,
right?
You know, so burnout is your mental health is a very important thing to monitor. So what they're asking for is pretty sane.
And the physical toll.
Pretty
my sister's bare
minimum.
A nurse and,
yeah,
they walk a lot of steps on a shift. There's a real physical toll to being a nurse.
My high school senior wants to be a nurse, and I'm having some of those conversations
totally
with her right now.
80% NPR had this in Morning Edition. 80% now of healthcare workers are women.
Wow.
So your daughter is part of that statistic.
She is. Have we got any response from Rush at this point, Elvia?
Yes, they didn't. The nurses are asking for an election to move forward with forming the union. Rush didn't really specifically address that. They did say they will be talking to nurses in the coming weeks. And they say that they think the most successful models for healthcare is really to have conversations on the department level. So we'll kind of see what happens, and we'll definitely be following this.
Yeah. What other stories are you following, Claire?
Well, we're going to have a warm week. Your fave.
I am thrilled. You see, I got the arms out today.
There's a catch, always.
Goodness.
You can have your arms out, but you should have an umbrella with you at all times.
I have the arms and the legs out today.
You might get a little wet. It's going to be one of those weeks, though, where we are going to see some sun. It's going to be 78 today, could push 80 tomorrow.
Oh, music to my ears.
But then with it, we'll bring some rain during the overnight hours as well as tomorrow, kind of in spots.
I feel like an auctioneer. Do I hear 80? Do I hear 90?
Right.
Can we get 90 degrees?
It's going to be warm, which is pretty unprecedented. I think yesterday was 20 degrees above the average high for this point in April.
Yeah, well, now it's starting to get concerning.
Okay, Sasha's having less fun.
I'm having less fun in real time. Courtney, it's National Poetry Month.
That's right.
Chicago's former and first poet laureate, Avery R. Young, he's got an interesting project. It's at the Lyric Opera, and it's only this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. He has got his world premiere opera this weekend. It's called Sophronia. And the story is based on his family's own experience during the Great Migration. And it really is something totally different for Lyric. The score is infused with sounds of blues and funk and gospel. Mm. And Young not only wrote the libretto, the words for this show, but he also composed the music and he's in the cast. So he can do it all.
What a jack of all trades, that
and
guy.
Just a little plug, we'll have more on his story tomorrow morning on WBEZ.
Him and that infectious laugh.
I truly hear it tomorrow in the story.
I can't wait. What else is going on at the opera these
days? Oh my gosh, so much. Yeah, Lyric just announced their next season. And in that announcement, they rolled out that they're going to bring back the summer musical. This had been a tradition at Lyric. They haven't done it in 4 seasons. It's coming back in 2027. Audiences will get to see Guys and Dolls on the Lyric stage, which
nice.
Is really fun.
Very cool. Well, while I have you here, what other stories are you following? You first, Elvia.
I'm still following the impact of the ACA. I have not forgotten about that. If anyone has a story to share,
reach out. The Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. So yeah, we're still following that and really tracking what the effect of that has been, and always on the hunt for stories to figure out what people are doing to help folks who are losing SNAP benefits.
Yeah, right. And you're referring there to the expiration of the subsidies.
Yes, that were never extended. So I know Congress is back in session, but I think they have quite a few other things that is on their plate.
There's a lot on their plate right now, that's for sure. Courtney?
Oh, I'm looking forward to the Latino Film Festival. We've got a story up on this, and I was looking at that this morning. That kicks off this week and is always a really fun thing to check out.
We'll look forward to it. WBEZ's Courtney Kippers and Claire Lane and Elvia Malagon with the Sun Times.
This episode of the In the Loop podcast was produced by me, Maha Ahmed, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. Thanks for listening.